From WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Knowledge is power is a familiar adage. In our digital age, perhaps a more relevant aphorism is knowledge is access. Case in point, Black Womanhood, a graduate course at Johns Hopkins, co-taught by professors Martha S. Jones and Jessica Marie Johnson. They placed the syllabus online and it went viral. Here's Johnson.
It was very important to both of us that when we posted it, that people would feel like they could engage with it, even if they read nothing, that people could go to it and get a sense of Black diasporic visual culture as well, and get images of Black womanhood from a whole range of directions.
It's on the record after the news. Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Knowledge is power is a familiar adage. In our digital age, perhaps a more relevant aphorism and one exemplified by our guests today is knowledge is access. Case in point, access to the syllabus for Black Womanhood, a graduate course at Johns Hopkins University, has been made available online and has spread like wildfire. The course is co-taught by Professor Martha S. Jones, the Society of Black Alumni Presidential Professor, as well as Professor of History at Johns Hopkins University Krieger School of Arts and Sciences. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
And her colleague in teaching Black womanhood is Professor Jessica Marie Johnson, assistant professor in the Center for Africana Studies and Department of History at Hopkins. Welcome, Professor Johnson.
Thank you.
What is the arc of the course content for Black womanhood? What does it cover?
We begin really at the beginning of the confrontations, the encounters between Africans and Europeans in the 16th century. Here, a set of experiences, some of which were lived through the advent of the slave trade, but others of which happen in the imaginations of Europeans through things like travel accounts. So we begin with those travel accounts to look at the ways in which travelers and the readers of travelers' accounts imagined African women and their capacities as workers, as mothers, eventually as enslaved people. We come all the way to the 20th century and really end with a series of books that look at the ways in which Black women become authors of their own lives in various ways. So Black women intellectuals at the early part of the 20th century who are now clearly free people, citizens, and are beginning to produce their own texts, produce their own ideas, and define themselves in contradistinction to how they had once been defined by European travelers.
So it's a big arc of history and also a big range of materials you use, primary sources as well as works of fiction in the readings, various media, all for use in a history course. Talk about your decision to include that variety in a history course.
Well, one of the things we wanted to make sure we did was think about Black womanhood and Black women's history as something that we can receive beyond books, academic articles. So we have fiction on the list. We have poetry. We have primary sources. So we have enslaved women's narratives of their own experiences. We have abolitionist narratives. And so we wanted to make, and we also have zines, websites. So we really wanted to have a kind of diverse look at the ways that Black women and those identified as women or femme are constructing narratives of their own experience and thinking about what that means in the past and in the present. We also wanted to challenge our graduate students to think about where they can find history and where what kinds of sources are seen as legitimate or seen as archival and where you can get testimony from.
And why did you decide to put the syllabus online for anyone to access?
Well, in some ways, we both spend a good amount of time in social media space. We're both Twitter users, and there's a very active community of historians first and foremost, I think, for me, on Twitter, who I interact with regularly. So in part, it was just a way to share what's happening in a new course with colleagues. But it turns out, of course, that there are many more people on Twitter. And those are the ones, at least, that surprised me, because they, too, were interested in what we were doing with this syllabus and picked up on it in a really powerful way.
When I talk about putting the syllabus online, I'm not sure readers will have a picture of how vibrant it looks. Professor Johnson, you designed the online interface of the syllabus. Talk to us about that.
Sure. So the syllabus right now is posted on a blog that I run called Diaspora Hypertext. And one of the things that I wanted to do when I posted it is make sure that that the texts are available and that the writing is there and there are links to everything, but also consider the ways that there is a Black aesthetic force to Black womanhood and to digital Black work. And so it was very important to me, to both of us, that when we posted it, that people would feel like they could engage with it, even if they read nothing, that people could go to it and get a sense of Black diasporic visual culture as well, and get images of Black womanhood from a whole range of directions. And so it's very important to post images of historical figures as well as present day artists and work by present day artists, but also I think there are a couple images there from social justice actions. There's an image of J. Marion Sims, the organizers who were fighting to have J. Marion Sims' statue taken down in New York. So there's
this
an image from that action.
The gynecologist who did experiments on Black women.
Yes, exactly. So it was really, it was a great space to kind of bring together material from across time and space, but also sort of disrupt that time and space-ness of doing history. So bringing the idea that, you know, the past is still here with us, that we're still confronting it, that we're still learning from it, and we also want to be, I don't know, engage with it and find something pleasurable and beautiful in ourselves as well.
And, of course, we will link to the syllabus from the On the Record page at WIPR.org. This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with Professors Jessica Johnson and Martha Jones. They co-teach the graduate course Black Womanhood at Johns Hopkins University. The interactive syllabus they put online has become a phenomenon. Johnson is also co-editor with Mark Anthony Neal of Black Code, a special issue of the Journal of the Black Scholar. Jones's new book, Birthright Citizens, A History of Race and Rights in Antebellum America, will come out in June. So what has been the online response?
Well, I'll say that, I don't know the definition of going viral quite. It's been remarkable to watch something that we put up on a given day of the week continue to have a life in a space like Twitter, being tweeted and retweeted and remarked upon and complimented. We've kept it going by each week reminding folks on Twitter, for example, what we're reading in a given week. And so partly we have colleagues who are asking, you know, can I borrow? Can I compare this to what I'm teaching, which is terrific. We love that kind of collaboration. But we have folks who are not affiliated with academia, particularly, who are reading along with us and using the syllabus to link to materials that are new to them also.
So, in other words, people who have nothing to do with an academic course mm-hmm. are finding this useful. Well, I mean, what did you expect the reaction to be?
I think we thought that we would post it up and people might find it useful or interesting and for like a day or week, and that would be that would be it. We didn't expect that it would be that people would be so so interested and so engaged in it, or that we would get so many different kind of requests and queries around it. And so that was what was really interesting. People, you know, reblogging it and reposting it and retweeting it was great, but all of the kind of questions around it, you know, people asking, can they follow along with the class? People who are not in any way affiliated with the university or academia. People asking, could they use it? We had Leslie Mack with the Safety Pin Box ask if that could be used as a model for a course that they were doing, workshops that they were doing. So that was really exciting. We have people who come up to us at conferences or talks that we're giving and, you know, mention the syllabus or thank us for it, which is just really beautiful and generous. It's kind of humbling.
Why do you think it's getting such a reaction?
I think, in part, the material has always been timely as long as I've been teaching it for 15 years. But it's also true that our field of Black women's history is really in its stride at this moment. So I think part of what draws people in is the extraordinary not only range and the arc, as you characterized it earlier, but also the depth of the possibility for understanding Black women's experiences historically is somewhat new in our field. I think that the invitation to think about more academic historical writing alongside fiction, alongside poetry, alongside images, alongside zines, has been really fascinating for us in the classroom, and I think fascinating for people who are following along. If in part, it is probably true that most people encounter Black women's history in more popular forms, and to help folks see the connection, I think, between the popular literature that they consume and the academic literature that's at the core of a graduate course is a powerful affirmation of our shared interests. And sometimes the academy is portrayed as an ivory tower, right, and cloistered off from the world. And here I think we broke through that barrier in a way that has been really meaningful.
Well, have you been trolled or harassed because of the online syllabus?
You know, I'll speak for myself. I haven't been, which has been great.
Did you expect that you would be?
I thought maybe, because the online world can be really fraught at the moment. It is a time when to speak about anything can lead to, particularly if you're speaking about anything that is sort of left of center or has any radical or progressive intent or just speaks about marginalized people and their experiences, it can lead to all kinds of interactions that are unpleasant. But I have not had any of those. It's been, for the most part, wonderful, warm, generous support. And that hopefully is a sign that people are seeing in the syllabus something of themselves. I mean, one of the things we wanted also was for the syllabus to reflect Black womanhood at its most broad, so including trans and queer perspectives, including gender nonconforming perspectives. And so hopefully the syllabus is doing that work as well and generating that kind of enthusiasm.
You want to add to that?
I hadn't thought of it until we began to talk about this more publicly and we were asked, you know, had we been harassed, had we been trolled in some way. And I've had that experience in the past in social media spaces. And I've tried to think about why that hasn't happened in this case. And I think it has something to do with our identities as teachers. And which is to say, there's a lot of room in social media for our identities and our voices as commentators, as opinion holders, if not opinion makers. But here I think there's a somewhat different tenor when you come as an educator, wanting to share knowledge with people, invite inquiry. We haven't told people how to think about this material, how to interpret it, what to do with it, but we have made it available to them. And so I wonder, at least, if it isn't a lesson for me, certainly, and perhaps for our students, about the particular role that we can play as educators in social media space when we hold on to that hat, right, and don't get drawn into the fray that we all associate with social media today.
Time for a quick break here on the record. We're talking with Johns Hopkins history professors Martha Jones and Jessica Marie Johnson. They team teach the graduate course Black Womanhood at Hopkins. They generated a lot of attention when they placed an interactive syllabus of the course online. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Kass. Back in a minute. Stay with us. Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking today about the Johns Hopkins University graduate course called Black Womanhood, co-taught by Professor Jessica Marie Johnson and Professor Martha Jones. At the start of the semester, they put an interactive syllabus online, and it has drawn a lot of attention. Professor Johnson is also founder of AfricanDiasporaPhD.com. Professor Jones serves on the executive board of the Organization of American Historians. You have each taught a version of this course before coming to Hopkins. So how is this different? How has the content been updated? How is the reaction different?
Well, I've been teaching this course about 15 years. Part of what was new was the opportunity to teach it to graduate students at Johns Hopkins. I had taught it for a long time to undergraduate students. So here we're working at a somewhat more sophisticated level. But really what was new for me was the chance to teach with Dr. Johnson, because here, as the experience of this syllabus makes clear, her understanding, her sophistication with digital media, what we sometimes call the digital humanities, really opened my eye to the possibility for bringing this course to larger communities. What's also new for me, I think, is our focus on sexuality. And so maybe you could talk a little bit more about that. But you've really introduced me to some really cutting-edge materials this semester, for which I'm really grateful.
Thank you. That's really generous, because I was I was both excited and nervous to teach with Dr. Jones because of amazing work that that she has done in this field and just as a teacher. So I guess to add on to that, I've taught it before also as with undergraduates, but I've also taught it in more specialized with more specialized focus. So I've taught courses either focusing on something like Black Women in Resistance, or focusing on Black Women in New Orleans, which is a place near and dear to my heart and to my research. So the opportunity to kind of expand into something more broad, knowing that it would be a graduate course and that they could carry the weight and carry much more, be even more analytical and more concerned with the archive and how they're thinking about, you know, the work as future historians. That was really exciting. And then the opportunity to do it, you know, with the mind towards, you know, shaping how, you know, as graduate students, they're thinking about their own work and what kind of theoretical frameworks they're going to bring to it. You know, doing Black women's history, for graduate students, for undergraduates, I get the sense that it's a sort of endeavor into thinking about their world as it currently stands, and that's extremely important in how they think about research and engaging in just the public sphere and critical life and engagement. But for graduate students, that takes it even further, because they are going to be the scholars who come after us, and they're going to be the historians that come next. And so having this as a course that at this esteemed institution that adds to the way the graduate students from Johns Hopkins are going to be understood to have been trained. They will have been trained in critical ideas about race, about gender and sexuality, and how these things intersect. They will be trained to think about the archive in different ways, because that's what Black women's history does. As Stephanie Camp says, said, it asks us to think. It doesn't just add to what we know. It changes how we know and what we know. So that's been really special. And the students are so amazing. And so really they teach us. They show us so much about what's possible when we take this work so seriously and it's dear to our heart.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass, speaking with Professor Martha Jones and Professor Jessica Marie Johnson, who team teach the graduate course Black Womanhood at Johns Hopkins University. Their interactive syllabus online has become something of a phenomenon. What happens to the syllabus after this course?
That's a great question. It certainly has a life of its own, because it resides on Dr. Johnson's website, and it's been circulated and downloaded. I'm still thinking about what we might leave as a marker, as a way of capturing what happened to us. So we'll talk about whether it's a live Twitter chat or a Facebook live event, but we'll do something in the digital realm that will bring us together, if you will, with all those readers out there who have been reading along with us, give our students a chance to tell us something about what it's like to be in this course in this moment and with this these fellow readers sort of around them. So I hope we'll end with a conversation that opens back up into the world of readers who have been sort of with us for the ride this semester.
One of the great things about texts like this is that there are so many ways that it takes on new life and new shape. So even over the course of the semester, one of the events that we had that happened alongside us teaching this class was an event I co-organized with Tamsin Rose Steele at Hopkins as part of their Digital Diversity Seminars and Black Co-Studies, which is an initiative that I do with Mark Anthony Neal at Duke University. And it was called Black Femme Digital Practice. And so we talked about the ways that Black womanhood, Black femme things have a kind of digital, do a kind of digital work that moves well beyond the internet, well beyond the page, and kind of, you know, begins to shape other, you know, people's lives in other directions. So that at that event, which was Bianca Loriano and Amber J. Phillips. Amber J. Phillips is with the Black Joy Mixtape, and Bianca Loriano is with the Latin Negros Project and founder of the Women of Color Sexual Health Network. They so inspired one of my undergraduates to also begin thinking about reproductive health and reproductive justice. And then there also were a number of graduate students there who were beginning to think about the ways that, for instance, like sex work in different regions has its own history. So there, you know, there's so many ways that the work that we create, if we share it, can take on new lives and arrives at new destinations, that it's just exciting to be able to be part of this and be in conversation in so many different ways.
I wouldn't want people to come away from this conversation thinking that everything we do happens in the digital realm. And that's, I think, Dr. Johnson's point, right, is that we're still teachers working in small groups and one-on-one with colleagues, with readers, with students. One of the things we did this semester was visit the Maryland Historical Society and ask them to talk with us about how Black womanhood is reflected in their collections. And it was a really interesting and fruitful encounter with them. They had to do some hard thinking about our subject matter. It doesn't pop up out of their catalog when you do a search. But they were able to dig in and find extraordinary materials that are resonant with our theme. And so here, part of how the work has a long life is our partnerships with other institutions beyond Johns Hopkins, where we share what it is that we think about, what it is that we teach, our own research interests that happen on a campus with cultural institutions to help them then think about how their own holdings, their own collecting, their own agenda fits with what we're doing on campus.
Do you expect that there will be a course called Black Womanhood next semester or the semester after?
I'm sure it'll continue.
Yeah, I mean, so what's funny is that when we, maybe we found this out because we put the syllabus online, is that once we did, one of our colleagues informed us that this is the first time that a graduate course in humanities has been taught by Black women faculty members. And if I'm not mistaken, it's the first time a course like this has been done, at least at the graduate level. And so as a first, this is really, really great. But yes, I think courses like this and Black women as historical practice and methodology should definitely continue, and hopefully we'll be continuing with us, but also, you know, again, our graduate students doing amazing things as well. So,
well, congratulations and thanks for telling us about it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Professor Martha S. Jones is the Society of Black Alumni Presidential Professor and Professor of History at Johns Hopkins University Krieger School of Arts and Sciences. Professor Jessica Marie Johnson is Assistant Professor in the Center for Africana Studies and Department of History at Hopkins. They team teach the graduate course Black Womanhood at Hopkins, and they generated a lot of attention when they placed an interactive syllabus for that course online. We'll have a link to the course syllabus at the On the Record page at WIPR.org. I'm Sheila Cass. Glad you've been listening on the record. Don't forget, the IRS wants to hear from you by tomorrow. From WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Knowledge is power is a familiar adage. In our digital age, perhaps a more relevant aphorism is knowledge is access. Case in point, Black Womanhood, a graduate course at Johns Hopkins, co-taught by professors Martha S. Jones and Jessica Marie Johnson. They placed the syllabus online and it went viral. Here's Johnson.
It was very important to both of us that when we posted it, that people would feel like they could engage with it even if they read nothing, that people could go to it and get a sense of Black diasporic visual culture as well and get images of Black womanhood from a whole range of directions.
It's on the record after the news. Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Knowledge is power is a familiar adage. In our digital age, perhaps a more relevant aphorism and one exemplified by our guests today is knowledge is access. Case in point, access to the syllabus for Black Womanhood, a graduate course at Johns Hopkins University, has been made available online and has spread like wildfire. The course is co-taught by Professor Martha S. Jones, the Society of Black Alumni Presidential Professor, as well as Professor of History at Johns Hopkins University Krieger School of Arts and Sciences. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
And her colleague in teaching Black womanhood is Professor Jessica Marie Johnson, assistant professor in the Center for Africana Studies and Department of History at Hopkins. Welcome, Professor Johnson.
Thank you.
What is the arc of the course content for Black womanhood? What does it cover?
We begin really at the beginning of the confrontations, the encounters between Africans and Europeans in the 16th century. Here, a set of experiences, some of which were lived through the advent of the slave trade, but others of which happen in the imaginations of Europeans through things like travel accounts. So we begin with those travel accounts to look at the ways in which travelers and the readers of travelers' accounts imagined African women and their capacities as workers, as mothers, eventually as enslaved people. We come all the way to the 20th century and really end with a series of books that look at the ways in which Black women become authors of their own lives in various ways. So Black women intellectuals at the early part of the 20th century who are now clearly free people, citizens, and are beginning to produce their own texts, produce their own ideas, and define themselves in contradistinction to how they had once been defined by European travelers.
So it's a big arc of history and also a big range of materials you use, primary sources as well as works of fiction in the readings, various media, all for use in a history course. Talk about your decision to include that variety in a history course.
Well, one of the things we wanted to make sure we did was think about Black womanhood and Black women's history as something that we can receive beyond books, academic articles. So we have fiction on the list. We have poetry. We have primary sources. So we have enslaved women's narratives of their own experiences. We have abolitionist narratives. And so we wanted to make, and we also have zines, websites. So we really wanted to have a kind of diverse look at the ways that Black women and those identified as women or femme are constructing narratives of their own experience and thinking about what that means students in the past and in the present. We also wanted to challenge our graduate students to think about where they can find history and where what kinds of sources are seen as legitimate or seen as archival and where you can get testimony from.
And why did you decide to put the syllabus online for anyone to access?
Well, in some ways, we both spend a good amount of time in social media space. We're both Twitter users, and there's a very active community of historians, first and foremost, I think, for me, on Twitter, who I interact with regularly. So in part, it was just a way to share what's happening in a new course with colleagues. But it turns out, of course, that there are many more people on Twitter, and those are the ones, at least that surprised me, because they, too, were interested in what we were doing with this syllabus and picked up on it in a really powerful way.
When I talk about putting the syllabus online, I'm not sure readers will have a picture of how vibrant it looks. Professor Johnson, you designed the online interface of the syllabus. Talk to us about that.
Sure. So the syllabus right now is posted on a blog that I run called Diaspora Hypertext. And one of the things that I wanted to do when I posted it is make sure that that the texts are available and that the writing is there and there are links to everything, but also consider the ways that there is a Black aesthetic force to Black womanhood and to digital Black work. And so it was very important to me, to both of us, that when we posted it, that people would feel like they could engage with it, even if they read nothing, that people could go to it and get a sense of Black diasporic visual culture as well, and get images of Black womanhood from a whole range of directions. And so it's very important to post images of historical figures as well as present day artists and work by present day artists, but also I think there are a couple images there from social justice actions. There's an image of J. Marion Sims, the organizers who were fighting to have J. Marion Sims' statue taken down in New York. So there's
this
an image from that action.
The gynecologist who did experiments on Black women.
Yes, exactly. So it was really, it was a great space to kind of bring together material from across time and space, but also sort of disrupt that time and space-ness of doing history. So bringing the idea that, you know, the past is still here with us, that we're still confronting it, that we're still learning from it, and we also want to be, engaged with it and find something pleasurable and beautiful in ourselves as well.
And, of course, we will link to the syllabus from the On the Record page at WIPR.org. This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with Professors Jessica Johnson and Martha Jones. They co-teach the graduate course Black Womanhood at Johns Hopkins University. The interactive syllabus they put online has become a phenomenon. Johnson is also co-editor with Mark Anthony Neal of Black Code, a special issue of the Journal of the Black Scholar. Jones's new book, Birthright Citizens, A History of Race and Rights in Antebellum America, will come out in June. So what has been the online response?
Well, I'll say that, I don't know the definition of going viral quite. It's been remarkable to watch something that we put up on a given day of the week continue to have a life in a space like Twitter, being tweeted and retweeted and remarked upon and complimented. We've kept it going by each week reminding folks on Twitter, for example, what we're reading in a given week. And so partly we have colleagues who are asking, you know, can I borrow? Can I compare this to what I'm teaching, which is terrific. We love that kind of collaboration. But we have folks who are not affiliated with academia, particularly, who are reading along with us and using the syllabus to link to materials that are new to them also.
So, in other words, people who have nothing to do with an academic course mm-hmm. are finding this useful. Well, I mean, what did you expect the reaction to be?
I think we thought that we would post it up and people might find it useful or interesting and for like a day or week, and that would be that would be it. We didn't expect that it would be that people would be so so interested and so engaged in it, or that we would get so many different kind of requests and queries around it. And so that was what was really interesting. People, you know, reblogging it and reposting it and retweeting it was great, but all of the kind of questions around it, you know, people asking, can they follow along with the class? People who are not in any way affiliated with the university or academia. People asking, could they use it? We had Leslie Mack with the Safety Pin Box ask if that could be used as a model for a course that they were doing, workshops that they were doing. So that was really exciting. We have people who come up to us at conferences or talks that we're giving and, you know, mention the syllabus or thank us for it, which is just really beautiful and generous. It's kind of humbling.
Why do you think it's getting such a reaction?
I think, in part, the material has always been timely as long as I've been teaching it for 15 years. But it's also true that our field of Black women's history is really in its stride at this moment. So I think part of what draws people in is the extraordinary not only range and the arc, as you characterized it earlier, but also the depth of the possibility for understanding Black women's experiences historically is somewhat new in our field. I think that the invitation to think about more academic historical writing alongside fiction, alongside poetry, alongside images, alongside zines, has been really fascinating for us in the classroom, and I think fascinating for people who are following along. If in part, it is probably true that most people encounter Black women's history in more popular forms, and to help folks see the connection, I think, between the popular literature that they consume and the academic literature that's at the core of a graduate course is a powerful affirmation of our shared interests. And sometimes the academy is portrayed as an ivory tower, right, and cloistered off from the world. And here I think we broke through that barrier in a way that has been really meaningful.
Well, have you been trolled or harassed because of the online syllabus?
You know, I'll speak for myself. I haven't been, which has been great.
Did you expect that you would be?
I thought maybe, because the online world can be really fraught at the moment. It is a time when to speak about anything can lead to, particularly if you're speaking about anything that is sort of left of center or has any radical or progressive intent or just speaks about marginalized people and their experiences, it can lead to all kinds of interactions that are unpleasant. But I have not had any of those. It's been, for the most part, wonderful, warm, generous support. And that hopefully is a sign that people are seeing in the syllabus something of themselves. I mean, one of the things we wanted also was for the syllabus to reflect Black womanhood at its most broad, so including trans and queer perspectives, including gender nonconforming perspectives. And so hopefully the syllabus is doing that work as well and generating that kind of enthusiasm.
You want to add to that?
I hadn't thought of it until we began to talk about this more publicly, and we were asked, you know, had we been harassed, had we been trolled in some way. And I've had that experience in the past in social media spaces. And I've tried to think about why that hasn't happened in this case. And I think it has something to do with our identities as teachers. And which is to say, there's a lot of room in social media for our identities and our voices as commentators, as opinion holders, if not opinion makers. But here I think there's a somewhat different tenor when you come as an educator, wanting to share knowledge with people, invite inquiry. We haven't told people how to think about this material, how to interpret it, what to do with it, but we have made it available to them. And so I wonder, at least, if it isn't a lesson for me, certainly, and perhaps for our students, about the particular role that we can play as educators in social media space when we hold on to that hat, right, and don't get drawn into the fray that we all associate with social media today.
Time for a quick break here on the record. We're talking with Johns Hopkins history professors Martha Jones and Jessica Marie Johnson. They team teach the graduate course Black Womanhood at Hopkins. They generated a lot of attention when they placed an interactive syllabus of the course online. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Kass. Back in a minute. Stay with us. Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Kast. We're talking today about the Johns Hopkins University graduate course called Black Womanhood, co-taught by Professor Jessica Marie Johnson and Professor Martha Jones. At the start of the semester, they put an interactive syllabus online, and it has drawn a lot of attention. Professor Johnson is also founder of AfricanDiasporaPhD.com. Professor Jones serves on the executive board of the Organization of American Historians. You have each taught a version of this course before coming to Hopkins. So how is this different? How has the content been updated? How is the reaction different?
Well, I've been teaching this course about 15 years. Part of what was new was the opportunity to teach it to graduate students at Johns Hopkins. I had taught it for a long time to undergraduate students. So here we're working at a somewhat more sophisticated level. But really what was new for me was the chance to teach with Dr. Johnson, because here, as the experience of this syllabus makes clear, her understanding, her sophistication with digital media, what we sometimes call the digital humanities, really opened my eye to the possibility for bringing this course to larger communities. What's also new for me, I think, is our focus on sexuality. And so maybe you could talk a little bit more about that. But you've really introduced me to some really cutting-edge materials this semester, for which I'm really grateful.
Thank you. That's really generous, because I was I was both excited and nervous to teach with Dr. Jones because of amazing work that that she has done in this field and just as a teacher. So I guess to add on to that, I've taught it before also as with undergraduates, but I've also taught it in more specialized with more specialized focus. So I've taught courses either focusing on something like Black Women in Resistance or focusing on Black Women in New Orleans, which is a place near and dear to my heart and to my research. So the opportunity to kind of expand into something more broad, knowing that it would be a graduate course and that they could carry the weight and carry much more, be even more analytical and more concerned with the archive and how they're thinking about, you know, the work as future historians. That was really exciting. And then the opportunity to do it, you know, with the mind towards, you know, shaping how, you know, as graduate students, they're thinking about their own work and what kind of theoretical frameworks they're going to bring to it. You know, doing Black women's history, for graduate students, for undergraduates, I get the sense that it's a sort of endeavor into thinking about their world as it currently stands, and that's extremely important in how they think about research and engaging in just the public sphere and critical life and engagement. But for graduate students, that takes it even further, because they are going to be the scholars who come after us, and they're going to be the historians that come next. And so having this as a course that at this esteemed institution that adds to the way the graduate students from Johns Hopkins are going to be understood to have been trained. They will have been trained in critical ideas about race, about gender and sexuality and how these things intersect. They will be trained to think about the archive in different ways, because that's what Black women's history does. As Stephanie Camp says, said, it asks us to think. It doesn't change, just add to what we know. It changes how we know and what we know. So that's been really special. And the students are so amazing. And so really they teach us. They show us so much about what's possible when we take this work so seriously and it's dear to our heart.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Professor Martha Jones and Professor Jessica Marie Johnson, who team teach the graduate course Black Womanhood at Johns Hopkins University. Their interactive syllabus online has become something of a phenomenon. What happens to the syllabus after this course?
That's a great question. It certainly has a life of its own because it resides on Dr. Johnson's website and it's been circulated and downloaded. I'm still thinking about what we might leave as a marker, as a way of capturing what happened to us. So we'll talk about whether it's a live Twitter chat or a Facebook live event, but we'll do something in the digital realm that will bring us together, if you will, with all those readers out there who have been reading along with us, give our students a chance to tell us something about what it's like to be in this course in this moment and with this these fellow readers sort of around them. So I hope we'll end with a conversation that opens back up into the world of readers who have been sort of with us for the ride this semester.
One of the great things about texts like this is that there are so many ways that it takes on new life, new shape. So even over the course of the semester, one of the events that we had that happened alongside us teaching this class was an event I co-organized with Tamsin Rose Steele at Hopkins as part of their Digital Diversity Seminars and Black Co-Studies, which is an initiative that I do with Mark Anthony Neal at Duke University. And it was called Black Femme Digital Practice. And so we talked about the ways that Black womanhood, Black femme things have a kind of digital, do a kind of digital work that moves well beyond the internet, well beyond the page, and kind of, you know, begins to shape other, you know, people's lives in other directions. So that at that event, which was Bianca Loriano and Amber J. Phillips. Amber J. Phillips is with the Black Joy Mixtape, and Bianca Loriano is with the Latinegros Project and founder of the Women of Color Sexual Health Network. They so inspired one of my undergraduates to also begin thinking about reproductive health and reproductive justice. And then there also were a number of graduate students there who were beginning to think about the ways that, for instance, like sex work in different regions has its own history. So there, you know, there's so many ways that the work that we create, if we share it, can take on new lives and arrives at new destinations, that it's just exciting to be able to be part of this and be in conversation in so many different ways.
I wouldn't want people to come away from this conversation thinking that everything we do happens in the digital realm. And that's, I think, Dr. Johnson's point, right, is that we're still teachers working in small groups and one-on-one with colleagues, with readers, with students. One of the things we did this semester was visit the Maryland Historical Society and ask them to talk with us about how Black womanhood is reflected in their collections. And it was a really interesting and fruitful encounter with them. They had to do some hard thinking about our subject matter. It doesn't pop up out of their catalog when you do a search, but they were able to dig in and find extraordinary materials that are resonant with our theme. And so here, part of how the work has a long life is our partnerships with other institutions beyond Johns Hopkins, where we share what it is that we think about, what it is that we teach, our own research interests that happen on a campus with cultural institutions to help them then think about how their own holdings, their own collecting, their own agenda fits with what we're doing on campus.
Do you expect that there will be a course called Black Womanhood next semester or the semester after?
I'm sure it'll continue.
Yeah, I mean, so what's funny is that when we, maybe we found this out because we put the syllabus online, is that once we did, one of our colleagues informed us that this is the first time that a graduate course in humanities has been taught by Black women faculty members. And if I'm not mistaken, it's the first time a course like this has been done, at least at the graduate level. And so as a first, this is really, really great. But yes, I think courses like this and Black womanhood
but as historical practice and methodology should definitely continue, and hopefully we'll be continuing with us, but also, you know, again, our graduate students doing amazing things as well. So,
well, congratulations, and thanks for telling us about it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Professor Martha S. Jones is the Society of Black Alumni Presidential Professor and Professor of History at Johns Hopkins University Krieger School of Arts and Sciences. Professor Jessica Marie Johnson is Assistant Professor in the Center for Africana Studies and Department of History at Hopkins. They team teach the graduate course Black Womanhood at Hopkins, and they generated a lot of attention when they placed an interactive syllabus for that course online. We'll have a link to the course syllabus at the On the Record page at WIPR.org. I'm Sheila Cass. Glad you've been listening on the record. Don't forget, the IRS wants to hear from you by tomorrow.